Please turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3. Wow. Wasn't that cool? This is the seventh one of those that I've done. And I love it every year because we get to see where they came from to who they are today. Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 11. Let's pray. I think that would be a good idea. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Father, today may be graduation Sunday where we honor the graduates, but Father, every day we honor you. We thank you so much to be in the lives of these young men and these young women, college graduates, high school graduates, future leaders of this world, future disciples, current disciples. God, you are doing amazing things in your church. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of this. We thank you so much for allowing us to be your children, and we ask you to continue to move in our hearts. Father, without you, we are empty. Without you, we have nothing. And I ask you, Father, to be in this place right now. Father, be with me as I preach this last sermon that I get to preach to this congregation. Father, help me to do so without incident. I don't want to walk off the stage sloppy and crying and all that stuff. Father, you know how I feel about this congregation. I love this group very much. And I thank you so much, Father, for the times that we've had together. But Father, you are our God. And we are connected and unified because of you. We thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You know, this verse clearly says that God has set eternity into the heart of man. He said there's a longing in our heart for something, and it's a great mystery until we get into the Bible and figure out who this God is. What is it that's going to fulfill that longing? Now, for many of us here, we've studied the Bible and we've made Jesus Lord, and we figured out that, you know what, that missing piece has always been a relationship with God. We all have had that aha moment. You know what I'm talking about? An aha moment is just simply when something becomes very crystal clear. And this morning I want to talk about five different instances in Peter's life where he had different aha moments. See, I don't believe that you only have one aha moment in your whole lifetime. I believe that we have different stages. And for everyone in here, we're at different places. Spiritually, physically, financially. But God wants us to be unified in him. You know, there's the first aha moment should be that there is a creator who made me with a longing for eternity in my heart. How many times do people go after so many other different things to fulfill that longing that's in our hearts? Think about you before you became a Christian. What was your flavor? What was your sin of choice? What were you going for that you were using to try to fulfill that void? When did you have your aha moment? When did it like hit you in the head and say, wow, I could have had a V8? You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, what have I been doing with my life for the last, you fill in the blank? You know, we pray and we work with the youth because we want their aha moment to kind of come a little earlier in life than came in our life. Because when it comes a little earlier in life, you get to live life in a different way. And you don't have all the regrets that many of our friends and family have. But whether you 3 or 30, 30 or 40, and I'm 42, so, you know, if you're with me, amen. It doesn't matter when your aha moment is. It matters that you actually have one. Because if you don't have one, that aha moment is coming, but it might come too late. I love Peter. I love Peter, boy. He just had this heart that was very transparent. He had no bless your heart kind of mentality. I don't think Peter was from the South. I'm just saying. If he didn't like you, you knew he didn't like you. He didn't play favoritism. He showed people his disdain. He cut people's ears off. That dude was real. I think Peter was from New York. That's what it was. Peter was from New York. I just figured out, honey, he was from New York. All right. Peter from the barbershop. All right. Let's look over in Luke 5. The first aha moment I feel that Peter had was, aha, there's a God and it's not me. Have you had that aha moment yet? Come on, teens, I'm talking to you. Have you had that aha moment yet? Some of you have. Some of you haven't. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled the both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. Wow. What an aha moment, huh? You've been working all night. I mean, you're doing what you do. He was a fisherman. He was fishing. Well, that day, he didn't catch anything. So how do you think he felt? He was probably a little discouraged, huh? If you're a salesperson and you don't sell something in a day, guess what? You don't eat that day. That man's a salesman. Before I came into the ministry, I was in sales. And I ate what I killed. And we didn't kill, we didn't eat. Peter literally didn't bring home the bacon. It wasn't bacon or fish, but you know what I'm talking about. So he's probably feeling very despondent, right? And here comes this preacher saying, "Man, can I use your boat?" He's like, "Whatever, go ahead. I'm going to clean out my nets, my useless nets that I didn't do nothing with today." And what did Jesus do? Jesus started preaching the word. And it's so interesting to me that God didn't even go into what the message was about. But obviously, it must have touched Peter's heart. Because after Jesus said, "Let's go get some fish," they got so much fish they couldn't handle it. What was Peter's aha moment? "I am a sinful man." Have you had that aha moment yet? Look, I'm not just talking to you if you're not a disciple. I'm talking to us as disciples. Because sometimes we can think, "Oh, well, I had my aha moment 10 years ago. I entered the waters of baptism, and now I'm a new creation." And yes, you're right. But you still have sin in your life sometimes. Are we still dealing with it on a daily basis? You know, as we look through this study, we're going to see that Peter didn't have a one-time aha moment. He continued to have them. And I think for some of us in here, we've missed the lessons going forward. I think we got stuck in, we got baptized and now I'm good. Let me do what I need to do to make it happen, to get to the water, but what are you going to do after the water? When you just get baptized, it's just the beginning of the story. Where's Georgina? Georgina, can you stand up real quick, please? Woo! This young lady will be baptized today at Mary Hall's house at 2 p.m. She is going to be born today. But the race don't stop today. It just starts. So let me ask you a question. The day that you were born and baptized, was that the day you also died? I know so many people that are willing to do whatever you tell me to do. I want to get baptized. But it's about living. It's not a one-time aha moment. It's about continuing the process. Peter fell at Jesus' feet and was like, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I can't do this. Stop and think about when that happened for you. Isn't that such an intimate moment? I'm not talking about when you studied with Fred or when you studied with Harold or when you studied with any man. I'm talking about when you were at Jesus' feet and you had finally said, aha, I am so sinful. And what was Jesus' response? Don't be afraid. I got this. You know, the coolest thing about being a disciple of Jesus Christ is we don't have to go on the strength that we have. If we did, man, we'd be in trouble. Because I could be kind of schizophrenic when it comes to strength. I don't know about you guys. One day I feel like the Hulk. The next day I feel like the Shulk. I don't know. You know, I just feel like somebody different. I don't know who the Shulk is, but whatever. I don't feel strong. But the cool thing about being a Christian is I get to use his strength, not my own. Have you had that aha moment, or are you still trying to do it all on your own? The thing I love about Peter is, well, first Jesus kind of just slapped that away. He says, whatever, come on, dude, let's get going. He says, don't be afraid, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now, it would have been a tragic story right there if Peter had just walked away. Right? If you notice, it's not recorded his response. There's no response recorded. But yet the rest of the Gospels, into the book of Acts, and into some of the Pauline letters, shows the impact that Peter had, and it showed his answer. So let me ask you a question. Are you showing and displaying your answer by the way you live? Or did you say Jesus is Lord once? Man, let's not walk away from the aha moment without doing something about action. God calls us to live a life of action, not just a life of a decision. The decision needs to form an action in our life. If we have no action behind the decision, I say that it's impotent. It hasn't reached its full potential. We can't walk away from aha moments without changing. God is not looking to shake us from our seats without us doing something about it. Look over in Matthew 16. I believe his next aha moment was that Jesus is Lord. Matthew 16. Let's start in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, there you go, Simon just jumping up saying something. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Peter had such another revelation that was not revealed by man. He didn't need to hear preaching. He didn't need nobody to study the Bible with him. He didn't need nothing but his relationship with God. And he realized that this is the Messiah. Have you had that aha moment yet? Do you realize that Jesus is Lord? Now, I know it's something that we say is a declaration at baptism, but it's supposed to be so much more than that. It's supposed to be a way of life, not just a one-time declaration of faith. Other churches do that. We're trying to be disciples up in here, aren't we? Being a Christian is about being Christ-like, little Christs. Jesus is Lord in every decision of our life. Jesus should be Lord where you go to college. Jesus should be Lord when you have children. Jesus should be Lord in what you do with that $5, the only $5 you got in your pocket. If you got more than $5, Jesus is Lord of that too. Are you allowing Jesus to be Lord of everything in your life? I remember when I first became a Christian and people started teaching me about dating etiquette and how I need to treat the sisters. That was not my natural disposition towards the opposite sex. That's saying it very politely. And when I started reading the principles from the scriptures, I was like, wow. And the brothers taught me, Jesus needs to be Lord of your dating life. Is Jesus Lord of your dating life? Are the sisters getting asked out on dates? Are the brothers being encouraged? As married people, are we still going on dates? Jesus is Lord of our marriages. Jesus is Lord of our parenting. Do we do parenting like James Dobson says to do it, or do we do it the way God says to do it? Now, James Dobson got some good stuff. But where he differs from the scriptures, I need to infer the scriptures. I need to use the scriptures to raise my children, to give them the chance to know him. We don't walk out of this thing out of parenting with a guarantee. They come to church every Sunday. They come to every Bible talk. They come to teen activity. Their besties are in the church. And you ain't got no guarantee. And it doesn't mean you're a bad parent if your kids don't make it while they're teens. I can't stand that doctrine. Now, if you are a bad parent, maybe that has something to do with it. So don't shrug that off so quickly. What I'm saying for you is don't worry about what other people are saying. Study out your scriptures and say, okay, am I doing this God's way? Like for me and my family, I started noticing, you know what? Doing family devotionals don't really work for my family. Both my kids got ADD like their daddy. 5 minutes, they gone. They sitting there, they're like, ugh. Stuff just falling. I'm like, oh, man. My wife's sitting there all spiritual, and I'm sitting there like getting mad. They're not listening. It took me 15 minutes to put this lesson together. Ungrateful children. So what does the scripture say? Talk about God as you go. Guess what? When they're in my car, I got them. They can't go nowhere. Because I'm driving 40, 50. You know what I'm saying? They can't jump out. If they do, they might meet Jesus sooner. I'm a good daddy. You see what I'm saying? It's about teaching our children as they go. Showing them a personal example. When you're going through struggles, being open when it's appropriate. When you have disagreements with people and they know about it, let them know how you're dealing with it. Say, yeah, I know you overheard that conversation I had with mom. Here's how we're dealing with it. And I'm not saying that you give them a full audience or treat them as equals. But the older they get, if you don't teach them, the world will. Our aha moment means Jesus is Lord of everything. Okay, I'm on part three. By the way, I got permission to go a little extra today. So if you're hungry, I'm sorry. You should have had breakfast. All right. My third aha moment is my sin is still alive. Luke 22. Luke 22. My sin is still alive. Have you ever realized, even as a disciple, that something is still, you're still struggling with something? And it still might be that same something you always struggle with. And you're like, wow, was the water, did it work? Ah, it was because Stephen didn't study with me right. It's Stephen's fault. I need to get rebaptized. Stephen's like, you jerk, why are you calling me up? But that's my boy. That's what we do. It had nothing to do with Stephen. It got nothing to do with the water. It has to do with sin. Look over in Luke 22, 59. It says, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Told you he was from New York. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter, remembering the words of the Lord, had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You couldn't have asked for a better discipling partner than Jesus Christ. Jesus discipled Peter for 3 full years. And Peter still fell away. I think at that moment, he had just seen Jesus being arrested. He had just cut off some dude's ear and Jesus put it back. He had just been accused of all this kind of stuff. And the gospel said that he started cussing. Let me give you a hint. When you start cussing, you in trouble. When you start going that way spiritually, you know worse things are going to happen. And worse happened. He denied Jesus 3 times, even had Jesus gave him the preview. He said, it's coming. No, Lord, if all desert you, I'll die with you. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's cute. But that's not going to happen. Peter learned the hard way. He had that aha moment that, you know what? I still have sin in my life. Have you discovered that you still have sin that you have to battle through? Are you still in the fight against sin? Or do you just give yourself the excuse that Jesus is Lord? God knows my heart. We're good. Be careful. God does know your heart. And that's the part that we have to be very careful of. I remember, you know, when you first become a Christian and the first time you sin, I forgot what my first sin was. I try not to remember that stuff. But it hurts, right? The first time you sin, you're like, oh, I didn't want to do that. Well, let me ask you, 10 years later, did you still feel like that? No. Your heart starts getting desensitized towards it. I think we need to have that aha moment that, you know what, there are still times when we're in sin, but we must quickly run back to Jesus. My fourth aha moment is Jesus still loves me. Look over in John 21. You guys with me? Okay, good. You know, the one thing I love about Peter is he didn't allow any of these aha moments to escape him. He learned from them, and you saw it in the fruit of his life. And you saw it by the way he lived. He learned that when we have sin, we must run back to Jesus so that he can restore our relationship with him. John 21:15 says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Jesus forgave Peter time and time again. And as he forgave him, what did he give him? Purpose, vision, vigor. Do you see the language that he's saying here? Do you love me? He was challenging him with that. And every time he says, Lord, you know I do, he gave him an assignment. If you love me, do what I told you to do. Isn't that biblical? Jesus said, those who love me will obey my commands. But we see from going forward that Peter just does just that. Look over in Acts 1:15. My fifth and last aha moment was, aha, God has a purpose for me. In Acts 1:15, it says, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. Okay, let's stop right there. So this is after Jesus was ascended. He went back to heaven, and some of the disciples, they all gathered together, and Peter decides to stand up. Oh, man. God is looking for someone to stand up. Amen. He didn't have an evangelist to tell him to stand up. He didn't have an elder to tell him to stand up. He didn't have a disciple partner to tell him to stand up. He stood up because Jesus told him to stand up. Amen. Hasn't Jesus told us to stand up? Right. So it's time to stand up. Amen. Not physically. You can stay seated. I got you, didn't I? It is time for the church of Jesus Christ to stand up. Amen. Whether it be in Gwinnett or whether it be wherever it is. This world needs us. They need our love. They don't need us walking around with bats that have sin written on them and say, I denounce you, demon child. No, we need to love people. But we need to be willing to stand up and then to address the crowds. In Acts 2:14, it says, then Peter stood up with the 11. There he goes, standing up again. Raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Okay, first of all, as a disciple, we need to do what? Okay, no, I'm not moving on until you say it. Thank you. You got to stand up. And then what do you got to do from what this just said? You have to address the crowd. Now, a crowd could be one, I would suggest it be more than one person, but if you feel good with just talking to one person, that's okay too. Are you addressing people? Are you addressing people? Sports are just about for themselves? There's no sin in sports. But if that's all you know, and that's all you talk to people about, I think sports can be used as a great tool. Man, the Mayweather fight, the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, that joke of a fight, it was awesome because I got to talk to people about boxing for the rest of the week and invite them to church. I got my breaks done. I invite the guy to church. I guess I'm done. Invite him to church. Why? Because church is this magical place? No. Because Jesus is talked about here. And I get to introduce them, especially since we're leaving, to like-minded people that will continue the process with them. God wants us to have that aha moment to know that he will use us if we will allow him to. Acts 2:36, we're all very familiar with this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I didn't write this. Only God knows what would have happened if Peter decided not to stand up. I don't know what would have happened, but perhaps nothing would have happened. Perhaps the Holy Spirit would have came to descend on the apostles and would have found no one worthy, no one willing to stand up. If God was going to supernaturally send his Holy Spirit upon us right now, would it find willing participants? We need to have that aha moment that God doesn't just forgive my sins for the sake of forgiving my sins. He does it because he loves us, but he also does it to set us on a mission. We still feel the impact of Peter's aha moments 2,000 years later. Let me ask you a personal question. How many years later will your aha moments impact this world? Will people be talking about your faith? Will your funeral be full of people that whom you've helped or touched in some way to get to know who Jesus is? You know, we were talking the other day, my daughter, we were saying something about, oh, we're all going to die. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to die. You know when Jesus comes back? I don't know when he's coming back. He did it for two guys. He might do it for me. My daughter said, oh, you think you're all special? I said, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. But do you know tomorrow? Do you know if you'll live? Do you know if you'll die? Do you know if God will bring you up? Do you know if he'll annihilate you right now? We don't know. Did you just have an aha moment? Did you just realize that there's a God and you're not him? Did you just realize, whoa, I'm not living my life to my full potential? What you going to do about it? Is Gwinnett County always going to be this size? Or because of your heart, and your neighborhood is going to be totally transformed. I can't wait to get to Kansas City. And I don't mean that because I'm running to leave here. I've been doing nothing but crying. I love you guys deeply. I love this congregation, and it has been an honor to serve you. But I look forward to the next assignment that God has for me. He has made it clear that this is what we're supposed to do, so we will go forth and do his will. God has made it clear that you need to be here. I pray that we can continue to be partners in the gospel, that we will take our aha moments and learn from them, and to God be the glory. Amen.
A couple of quick announcements. Next Sunday, May 24th, we will be having service at 10 a.m. at Pinckneyville Park. at the Medlock Pavilion. Bring your picnic lunch, picnic basket, what are you going to bring? I want to announce also, Georgina Mason, being baptized today, should be the address. Yep. It's okay to clap twice. It's okay to clap twice. She'll be baptized at Mary Hall's house at 2 p.m. The address is 2379 Piney Stream Court, and that's in Lawrenceville. Park in the cul-de-sac and walk, I guess, down the... It's only dirt road, she said, or only gravel road. Right, Mary? All right. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you for the Beckers, what they've done for this congregation. What they've done for everybody in this auditorium. I wish them the best in Kansas City. I pray that you give them the strength to move lives over in Kansas City like they did here. Thank you for everything they've done. I just want to thank you for everything you've done in our congregation. And if there's anybody struggling out there today, just have them reach out, touch your heart, and let them speak to somebody and let them get help, Lord. I just want to raise everybody up in this congregation and look forward to our new evangelist and hopefully pray and get them visas to get over here. And it's a powerful message by John. Just love you, brother. I praise everything in your name. Amen. Dismissed.